The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. From the heart of New York City and the tri-state area to the most active real estate hotspots across America. Keeping you plugged in to the latest real estate market trends, from mortgage news and legal developments to everything you need to know about buying or selling a property, benefited by the advice of the experts. Now, here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Saturday. I'm Dottie Herman, and welcome to another episode or another show of Eye on Real Estate. As you probably know, I don't have to tell anyone this, real estate is very important to everyone. You have to live somewhere, and whether it's an apartment, whether it's a mansion, whether it's a small home, a big home, whether it's a tent, we all need shelter. So everybody wants to know about it. I call it the universal language. Everyone likes to talk about it. And if you're a starting out investor, it's probably, I don't want to say easy, but probably if you do up some reading and things like that and hear our show, you could really make money in investing. And as far as this is my opinion, I think it's a lot safer than the stock market. Even though you can make a lot of money on the stock market, you can lose it. In real estate, I think if you buy right, as long as you don't have to sell at the wrong time, it's hard to lose.
I agree with you, Dottie. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So great to be on your show, and happy Saturday to you and everyone listening in today. I agree, real estate is a wonderful investment vehicle. Although I do like the stock market. I'm not into crypto. Crypto I don't get, but real estate is number one. So yes, we'll share little insights on how to make money, that's for sure.
Well, the good news is, okay, and by the way, if you don't know, that was Lucas Ferrara, an attorney at Newman Ferrara LLP, who specializes in real estate law. And like I always said, when you're doing real estate, don't use a divorce attorney. You need to use somebody who just specializes in real estate. It's that important. Okay? I tell you, don't try to give it to your son-in-law who doesn't want to do it anyway, and he's a divorce attorney. You can follow us on, you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and at Dottie Herman. And please, you know, visit www.dottieherman.com and sign up for my monthly newsletter. Obviously, you can listen to us live. And we have, you know, you can tune in and you can get all of our shows. So I'm in the process because the mistake we made was we didn't label the shows. And that was a mistake one of the assistants did and never labeled the shows. So I want to go back, and we're trying to re-listen to them and label them so this way you know the topic. And if there's something that you need to catch up on or you want to re-listen to it, you'll know the topic. Right now, there are just millions of them, but there's no labels. So that's the chore of that's something that I've committed to do. So it might take me a bit of time, but I'll get it.
But that's a great idea. That's a great idea, Donnie.
Yeah. Well, but this way, somebody, you know, if you know, sometimes you hear something, you need to hear it again, or you say, oh, gee, what was that again? And you can go back to it. So give me some time.
It also makes it more searchable, you know what I mean, on the internet. So it's a very smart move.
That's a big job, but anything. You know, I tell people, what do you think? Anything in life, you know. I'd love to win a lottery and, you know, say, oh, I just bought the ticket and I won the lottery. It was an easy $1 million here. But anything in life that's going to be successful, whether it's work, whether it's a relationship, a friendship, parenting, a business, it takes a lot.
Yeah, you know what it is, Dottie, and I sense this in you, okay? You have to be ready to hear the word no, but that doesn't mean you have to accept no. You have to be ready for rejection, but that doesn't mean you have to accept rejection. You use it as a point to move forward rather than backward. I think many kids, when they hear no, they recoil. Or if they get a rejection, it's a setback. No, 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 no. Move forward. Use it as a point of empowerment to improve or change. That's what you've done throughout your life, Dottie, from what I know.
Well, that's true. But Lucas, you bring up a really, I think, an interesting point. Because as children, like as toddlers, as kids, like you're taught, hey, don't touch the stove. It's hot. No. Don't do this. No. Don't do that. No. Like, don't walk in the street when there's a car. You're taught a lot of no's. But in life, no doesn't mean no. And in real estate, I tell people no doesn't mean no. No means maybe I'm saying no now, but I might change my mind in a week. And maybe I don't think it's a good idea now, but I could ask again. And I really think everyone kind of, one of the biggest questions people ask me is, how did you come from nowhere and be so successful? I said, how did you at 28 years old tell people I'm buying a company when you had no money? I said, because first of all, when you're young, you have less fear. So I took leadership. I knew the company was going to be sold. I was the youngest person in the company. I didn't know where I would get the money. I tried. I called banks. And by the way, they did discriminate then. Okay, I don't think they can do it now. But I don't mean because I was a woman only. I was a woman. I was young. They laughed in my face, basically, and said...
It was discrimination.
Well, they said we would... They said we wouldn't lend you the money for an office, let alone a company.
That's terrible.
They laughed in my face. And then I called investors... that I thought maybe, I said, listen, I could buy this company. And at the time, we were just on Long Island. I wasn't in the city yet. I had 36 offices. I said, I can buy this company. And I said, you could have your name on it. Like in the old days, they would have Joe Blow's Real Estate, you know? Yeah. I thought if the guy had, if there was an ego there. And I tried that. It didn't work. Meanwhile, I had told Prudential, who had just purchased it from Merrill, and they didn't, and they said, well, we don't want to own, Merrill Lynch owned that company. I worked for Merrill, but they said, we don't want to own a real estate. We think it's local, so we're going to franchise it. Your job is just to keep the company together so we find someone to buy it. Now, at 28 years old, I had no, somebody said, well, why don't you buy it? I said, well, I don't have any money. I'm 28. Well, I don't even think I had $500, maybe $1,000 in the bank. He said, somebody said, well, so what? Just tell him you do have the money. Now, that's as simple as this all happened. Wow. And I said, well, that's not a bad idea. I will tell them I have the money. So I called them up and I said, listen, I'd like a meeting whenever you can get to it, because they were selling everything in the United States. All the real estate offices. I said, I have venture capital money, and I want to be considered to buy this company. I had nothing.
And what did they say? What did they say? This is a good story.
What did they tell you? Fake it till you make it. That's my saying. Fake it till you make it. No. So it took them a long time, because don't forget, they had real estate companies all over the country, so they had to sell them all. So it took about a year's time till they got to me. And of course, and that's how I'm running the company, but I was working for them. They were paying me until they found a new owner.
Right.
So now they come, and of course, I don't have any money, and I don't have any venture capital money. I don't have anything. So I talk to them about all the things I'm going to do and this and that. And the people did like me, even though I... So, to make a long story short, I finally say, but I have one thing to tell you. I'm going to make you millions of dollars. Together, we're going to be a great team. But you've got to finance me, because I couldn't get the money. They looked at me and they said, excuse me? But you said, yeah. And I said, well, I said, you would have sold it to somebody else, and I'm the best person to sell it to. And everybody wants to work for me. And I said, why can't you lend me the money? And they said, we can't.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I said, well, I don't take no for no.
Ah, there's the theme. There's
okay?
the theme.
So I went back, and I asked them again, and I asked them again. And I kept on saying how it's a win-win because, you know this, Lucas. For a deal to be successful, it's got to be successful for two people. It
right.
can't be I won and you lost.
Correct.
Or, Lucas, you won and I lost.
Right.
A good deal is we both did well.
Right.
So I knew that there had to be I said, this are the benefit to you. I said, when I get through with this company, you guys are going to make so much franchise fees. To make a long story short, I convinced them at first. And on my website, the girl who did it, I think she mixed up the facts. I borrowed like $28 million in working capital. And then after 9/11, I went back and borrowed like $86 million plus working capital. And I had no money. I had nothing to guarantee it with because when you take a loan that size, you have to guarantee with some asset that you have. Well, at 28, I didn't have any assets. All right, so I convinced them that I could do it and that I would make them money, and they believed me. And I did. I made them money, plenty of money. I paid off the loan. I can't tell you it wasn't a lot of hardships, and there were times that I thought the company was going to go out of business, and I'm like, listen, guys, please don't cash your checks this week. Just hold it another week. I mean, I have to say, when you're close with your company, and we had a big company, but I was close with everybody, I knew everyone, and I told them the truth always. And so they never had to worry, because people are worried about something that's going to come up that they didn't have control of. So I said, never worry. You'll always know what's going on. And when things were bad, I told them. When I wasn't sure if I'd stay in business, and this is many years ago, I told the office. I remember going to the Merrick office and saying, listen, I don't know if I'm going to make it. If you want to leave, nobody left. Everyone stuck with me. And I owe my success, not only to me, to all the people at Douglas Elliman, okay, who
Amen.
Really helped make it.
Amen.
And
great, Dottie, that is an inspirational story. It really is. And the theme, revisits what we started off with, which is you can't accept no for an answer. And two, the takeaway, people, you have to believe in yourself. And Dottie, that truly is an inspirational story. Maybe we should do a movie. What do you think? The Dottie Herman, the life of Dottie Herman.
Well, listen. I don't know if it's a little late to do a movie. I'm writing a book, but it's not really about business. It's a little about my life, but not so much because I want everyone to know about my life. Just because, when people see someone successful, they right away think, oh, well, she had somebody in the business she knew, she did this. And the truth is I worked for every cent and everything that I did. But I want to show that it's really possible. If you really have a dream, it's possible, and you shouldn't give up on it. And
it takes a lot of no's.
It takes work. Yep. And it takes a lot of rejection.
Yep.
Okay? And, of course, you have to know, look, there's times when I know, I don't even have a shot here. I have a 20% chance. I'm not even going to go for it. I go for things that I really feel I can do, and I would have never gone for the company if I didn't think I could really build it. And I was young, but I just knew it in my mind. I had this vision, and I was persistent. So if you want something, then you have to be persistent. Whether it's practicing an instrument, anything you do, it takes work. But it was a good story. It turned out all great, and. But
it's
something that people say, how did you do it? How did you get them to lend you the money? Well, what's the worst that can happen, Lucas? Someone says no.
But you keep looking. You keep trying.
Right, but that's the worst that can happen. And I think, and I'm getting away from real estate, but this is an important lesson to know. Most people don't want the rejection.
That's
They're afraid of the word no.
I was agreeing. I'm agreeing 110%, Dottie.
Oh,
don't
okay, great.
Be afraid of the word no. Now, you have to listen. For example, when you're in a relationship, if someone says no, no means no. But
well, there's always compromise.
Yeah, there's you know, there are levels and gradations, but keep fighting. And you know, quick story before we have to break. I have a friend who used to work with Tom Cruise, when the actor, the famous actor, when Tom Cruise was a nobody. Now, I can't give too much. I can't give too much away because they're all alive and I'll get sued. But the bottom line is, when Tom Cruise was a young actor, she told me he went to every audition, even for roles that he really wasn't fit for, like the description
right.
didn't. He went to every one of them. And she said he would get no's left and right, Dottie. Tom Cruise, he kept going, and eventually, Dottie, he got picked up. So it's the same version of your story, but countless no's, Tom Cruise. And look how successful.
A lot of actors. Jerry Seinfeld, the same thing. They laughed in his face. Okay, so it's a good lesson to learn that no doesn't mean no.
Pick
just
yourself
wanna give
up.
You, just want to tell you that at 11 o'clock, just so you know, we'll be joined by Michael Miller, who is an attorney specializing in estate planning. And I thought, hey, the tax laws are changing in 2 years, and there's a lot of things that are important to know, especially when it comes to real estate, if you're planning to leave that real estate. So we're going to have him on. And at 11:30, we're going to have our famous Tony-winning producer, Wendy Fetterman, to discuss the latest on Broadway and the Broadway Museum.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, no. I love that. That's amazing. Michael Miller, by the way, I've known for 30 years. He's a very respected, established attorney, past president of the New York County Lawyers Association, and past president
wow.
of the New York State Bar Association. Some 70,000 lawyers. He was the head of these groups. So I'm really looking forward to his segment and his insights on trusts.
I am, too. His,
yeah, he's a great guy.
By the way, just quickly, I didn't give you Long Island's highlights from the market last week. I gave you a bunch of them, but not Long Island's. And the price trends rose year over year for the third time. Listing inventory declined, which is not so great, to the second lowest level on record. So there's hardly any inventory. So if you're looking for Long Island, you got to stay on it. Sales fell year over year for the past 2 years. Excuse me. But I really feel that's because there's no inventory. I think there would be plenty more sales if there was something to sell. But it's been single family median prices increased, condo sales prices increased. It's all increases. Luxury bidding war market share surged, so there was bidding wars. Hamptons increased annually to their second highest on record. So
oh
prices
boy.
Went up, sales
oh
surged, and sales surged. So there was not only an increase in prices, sales surged annually, rising for the second time because there was more supply. It was hard to sell. Last year was a bad year in real estate, not because real estate was bad, was nothing to sell. Listing inventory rose annually for the sixth time. So if you've been looking in the Hamptons, there's a lot more listings out there now. You have a better chance of getting something. And that should bring the prices, you know, where you can negotiate a little bit. Bidding war market share was the lowest level in a year. Only 1 out of 7 sales. And there was not as many bidding wars because there was not that much inventory. I will want to tell you a little about the spring market. But before that, Lucas, I have a question that somebody emailed me to ask you.
Okay.
Okay. So
and I have a question
break,
for you, too.
Okay. After the break,
okay, great.
We're going to talk about disclosures, what a seller has to tell. We'll ask Lucas, the legal expert. We'll be right back after a quick commercial break. You're listening to I Own Real Estate. I'm Dottie Herman.
I love bringing you products that improve your life. Well, this product can save a life. There are 5,000 choking deaths in the U.S. annually. One child dies every 5 days from choking. Older adults are also at increased risk of choking. Foods eaten by the handful, like popcorn, grapes, peanuts, they get overloaded in the mouth, cause a choking episode. LifeVac is a simple rescue device that can change a life in a choking emergency. It's non-invasive and easy to use. If you have a young child or a senior relative, I strongly recommend you visit the LifeVac website today at lifevac.net. View the videos demonstrating its ease of use. LifeVac works in three simple steps: place, push, pull. The LifeVac device dislodges the obstruction and suctions out the food or object. It's that simple, and it can be self-administered. LifeVac.net.
Are you ready to embark on an unforgettable expedition to Alaska this summer? Then join me, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, along with Mike Gallagher and our special guests on the Patriots Alaska Cruise, sailing over 4th of July weekend. Learn more at patriotsalaskacruise.com. This experience is a chance to participate in spirited discussions and thought-provoking lectures with like-minded patriots and sought-after speakers. 7 action-packed days will chart a course toward a bright American future, all while surrounded by Alaska rustic and natural wonders on a luxury cruise ship. You'll experience powerful creation immersed in the splendor of glaciers and fjords. Join Mike Gallagher and me June 29th to July 6th. Secure your cabin today by calling 855-565-5519 or book online at patriotsalaskacruise.com. That's 855-565-5519, patriotsalaskacruise.com.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow don't have the support of box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. It's part of this cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly on to you. They are having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product company. Since then, with the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products. To get the word out, they're having a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. The 6-pack towel set, $25. The 4-pack dish towels, you guessed it, $25. For the first time ever, premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, any size and any loft level, just $25. This amazing offer will not last long, so order now. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-651-0798. Use the promo code JOEP.
We can tell you about the incredible success we bring to local businesses, but it's better when it comes directly from our satisfied clients. Here's just one example.
After searching for a new vendor to handle my search marketing campaign, I contacted Salem Surround after seeing the great work they did for another restoration company in the different market. Their team of experts recommended a mix of multiple tactics designed to get my business the most quality leads at the lowest cost, making my marketing budget stretch further. In our first year partnering with Salem Surround, we recorded our best year to date. And I've told many people how blessed I was to find them. The representative answered the phone every time I called and quickly addressed any questions or concerns I had.
Let Salem Surround give you an absolutely free audit of your current marketing and show you what your competition is doing. Then we come up with a personalized plan that's perfect for your needs. Google Salem Surround New York and let our marketing experts help you achieve real success. Remember to Google Salem Surround New York today.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. Here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back, and we're going to talk about some simple buying techniques for the spring, because that's your busiest market. And before the break, I said I have a question from a listener, and I should have gotten to this last week, but I didn't. So this is for you, Lucas. Now, when you're selling a house, when you're selling your home, if you're a seller, you have to learn the basic rules of what you need to disclose so you don't get sued. Okay. And it's a tricky maze to navigate. So we're going to give you a little information on what you have to disclose and what you don't. And Lucas, I'm going to leave that to you.
Well, you know, Dottie, as you said, this is a bit thorny, because as a lawyer, My general advice, and you know, each case is going to vary, and you should always speak to your own attorney.
Yes.
When necessary. But generally speaking, when it comes to the law and any contract, you're supposed to disclose what you know. And if you know of a defect and you know of a problem, legally, in theory, you're under an obligation to disclose it. Okay? And that should make sense to your listeners, because not to tell someone that you have a structural defect that you're aware of can be characterized as fraud in theory, right? Because you know of something, you're intentionally withholding that information, and you're trying to fool someone into buying your problem.
Right.
And that, under the law, will not pass muster. So my best advice, and this is very general, but my best advice, truth. Truth will set you free. If you tell Dottie, if you're looking at my home, I got to tell you, okay, there's a problem with my AC unit, or there's flooding in the basement when it rains, whatever. Yes, it might hurt the price, but you could sleep better at night if you've disclosed what you know.
Not only that, most people are going to have an engineer's report, and I hardly suggest you don't buy something without doing it.
That's a mistake.
If you have an engineer's, I don't think it's a mistake to have an engineer's report.
No, not to get it is a mistake. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, not to get it. So it's going to come out anyway. And by law, in general, the sellers should disclose any known facts about the physical condition of the property.
That's right.
The existence of dangerous materials or conditions, any lawsuits, pending matters that may affect the value of the property, and any other factors that may influence a buyer's decision.
That's right.
Okay? And even if you've learned to live with it, you have to disclose it. And most sellers think it's in their best interest to not disclose it. But if you don't disclose it, you could get sued.
Yes, without question. And it's
easy.
And
you should also disclose recently, like if you've repaired things, if there was a problem and you've repaired it, you should disclose that.
Look, it's very easy these days now to prove what people knew. And the way they do it in court is by getting subpoenas for emails, texts. All this stuff is saved, and it's reviewable and discoverable. So you're not going to be able to hide from what you knew, because it's readily established. It can be. So I suggest be honest, and you'll sleep better at night and avoid litigation.
Example. Right.
Yeah.
Well, as is, just so you know, means we're not telling you anything about the house. You buy it the way it is. Whatever conditions it is in, that's it. We're not fixing anything.
Right.
But let's say your house is infested with termites, but you've never seen one, or they were missed by an inspection, or maybe there was never a termite inspection. You can't be held responsible for not disclosing this defect if it's a discovery by the buyer a few months after closing. So everything has to be done before the closing, and that's what we always tell buyers. You should have an engineer's report, go through it with the engineer, and the bank, if you're going to take a mortgage, is going to require termite inspection. Okay, but now as the buyer, so you need to disclose just about anything that you know?
I recommend that. Yes. But you need to speak to an attorney to see in your individual transaction what's required, not required. But generally, truth will set you free. That's my advice of the moment. I'm sticking to it, Dottie.
Well, stick to it.
Because I'm not going to tell anybody. Think about it, Dottie. I'm going to say, don't lie. Don't answer the question. Don't respond to it.
No, listen. Everything has got to be up and up. Nobody wants to do business. And if you start lying, then the people are going to think, what else are they lying about? So, no, you just don't. Bad neighbors. Do you have to disclose that? Well, if you've ever bought or sold a house, you probably know that the seller has to disclose any major problems before the sale can go through. a crack in the foundation, a basement prone to flooding. Okay.
Even ghosts. There was an actual case about
right.
Yeah, do you remember that?
I always do a show on Halloween with houses.
Do you? So we'll save it. We'll save it for Halloween then.
For haunted houses.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what about death? How the previous owner died? And this is state by state. Many states have laws on the books that require sellers to disclose facts about whether the property is psychologically affected. And so you have to check with your local attorney in your area. What about horrible neighbors? If you have terrible neighbors, that's debatable. I don't know if there's a law about it. So, you know, but if I were you, if you're getting ready to sell your house, I would knock on my neighbor's door, bring them a cake or a little pie and say, listen, I just want you to know, you know, I'm selling my house. I want you to be the first to know just in case maybe you knew somebody that wanted to be close. And try to have a nice relationship with your next door neighbors because they can hurt your sale if you're not careful.
They can certainly kibosh it. They can certainly kibosh it.
But now let's go back to the seller's disclosures. When in doubt, would you say disclose?
Yes. But what is the harm? What is the harm of disclosing? If you have a question.
Well, people think, oh, well, then I'm not going to sell my house. Well, it's going to come out.
Right.
And if you are obligated by law. If you know things about your home that are wrong, you have to disclose it.
Yes.
Like, if there's a
lead,
a crack
plumbing, there's a whole list. There's a whole list.
Right.
Know, plumbing, radon, if there were motor fuels, oil. The structural issues, there's a whole list and we don't have time to go through them. Mechanical systems. So it's best to be truthful. Look, I've been practicing law for 35 years, as I've told your listeners before, Dottie, and people sue over anything. Remember we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. People sue over couches, you know, and security deposits and fight over couches, you know.
Can I give you a tip on that? And I tell all the people this. When you're transacting a real estate sale, don't mix personal property into the equation.
What do you mean?
In other words, you deal with the price of the house. So let's say the house is $750 and you offered you deal with the price of the house.
But it doesn't include the chandelier, is that what you mean? What if I want that chandelier?
Well, wait. You deal with the price of the house and whatever you are leaving. So if you happen to be leaving the chandelier, fine. But the price of the house and what's being left with the house. After you get that deal done, then you will negotiate personal property separately. Why? I've watched deals blow up because somebody say, leave me the pool table, okay? It's not a big deal.
A piano.
And the person says, you know, or the piano. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, and someone says, no, I really can't. Well, that could blow up your deal. Make your deal first. Then after your deal, then if there's personal things, maybe you want to buy some furniture or you like that piano they have, then you can add that on. But that's a separate negotiation because now you've made the deals for your house done. And these are separate negotiations. Don't mix personal property
trying to negotiate
the price.
You know, that's great advice, Study. A lot of people assume that because they see it, something, it's part of the purchase price. And that's the biggest false assumption. So that is great advice. They need to know whether or not the chandelier is included.
Right. And then sometimes it will be included. But in the beginning, whatever's left with that is fine. Anything additional, you're going to deal with that separately after you deal with the price, the down payment, and all the terms. Okay, we'll be right back. We're going to talk about the spring market and a little bit of negotiating. We'll be right back after the break with Lucas Ferrara and myself. Thank you.
Over the last 30 years, Newman Ferrara, a New York City law firm, has evolved into a national practice focused on real estate, commercial, litigation, civil rights, class actions, and other complex litigation, representing many of the city's largest property owners, managing agents, and thousands of tenants. Newman Ferrara handles some of the nation's most significant class actions and civil rights matters. Newman Ferrara at 1250 Broadway in New York City. Go online to NewmanFerrara.com. That's NewmanFerrara.com. Listen to the firm's name partner, Lucas Ferrara, every Saturday at 10 a.m. on Dottie Herman's longest-running real estate radio program, Eye on Real Estate on AM 970. A real estate lawyer for 35 years, Lucas is a professor at New York Law School and is also a published author with books on real estate and New York's landlord-tenant law. Tune in Saturdays at 10 a.m. to hear Lucas's unique perspective and advice on Eye on Real Estate.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala. If you listen to my show regularly, you may have heard me talk about my respect for court reporters. Well, I've got some exciting news for you. The New York State Unified Court System recently held a press conference and declared court reporting as the best career you've never heard of. Why? Because they just created a position designed specifically for brand new court reporters. The court reporting trainee position allows new court reporters to enter the court system making an annual salary upwards of $75,000 with an additional $4,600 in location pay if you live in New York City, Nassau, or Suffolk County. To qualify for the position, you don't need any working experience as a court reporter. You just need to have graduated from an approved court reporting institution and write at 225 words per minute. If you're not sure if court reporting is right for you, you can test drive the program through Plaza's free virtual A to Z program. For more information, email info@plazacollege.edu. That's info@plazacollege.edu.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. Adam Mayo served our nation for over 7 years before he was catastrophically injured during training. He was left paralyzed from the chest down, severely limiting his ability to move around his home independently. Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel to Towers helps catastrophically injured service members and first responders, as well as Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. The foundation is also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org, T the number 2, and then T.org.
Listen to us online at AM970TheAnswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hi, folks. It's Arthur Idala of The Power Hour. Every night here on AM970 at 6 p.m. We try to bring you a lot of fun, a lot of energy, with a lot of facts, a lot of inside scoop from the courtroom and from the streets of the city of New York with our special guests and our regular co-hosts, Sambolino, Joni, Alex, and whoever happens to be walking around the office. Tune in weeknights at 6 p.m.
Listen to us online at AM970TheAnswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
AM970, The Answer.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information, here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
You're listening to Eye on Real Estate. I'm Dottie Herman. I'm here with attorney Lucas Ferrara, and we're discussing what the seller needs to disclose when they're selling a home, and this is really important. Now, the federal disclosure rules apply to one area, lead paint. And if your home was built prior to 1978, it may contain lead paint. Your home must be checked for lead paint and a disclosure form completed unless your home was built after 1978. For the state regulations vary and often change, so rely on your real estate agent on how to find the real estate agent, and that's why you should find one in your area to be up to date on those disclosures. Some states allow sellers to complete a disclosure form listing information about their home or a disclaimer form that says the sellers don't have any information about issues on the property. In some areas, you need to disclose what you know about natural hazards, like whether your home is in a flood zone, earthquake area. So those you need to go to your local real estate attorney or somebody who's in the, you know, knows your state and can give you that information, because that's really important. And you can't get away without disclosing. And, you know, you could get sued for not disclosing certain things.
Hey, Dottie, now, when you're ready, I have a question from a listener for you. So let me know.
Okay, let me finish this.
Sure.
Here's what you disclose. Water damage or mold, you must disclose. If you're aware of a leaky basement, a damaged roof, or any signs of dampness, and if you had it repaired, you should supply the receipts and who did the work. Obviously, lead paint, termite damage, any termite damage. If you did lead paint, federal law requires homeowners to disclose any known lead paint. Like I said,
mold,
before,
mold is a big deal too. By the way,
mold. Termite damage. If the termites did damage, if it was previously treated for termites. Repairs and insurance claims, anything like that. Okay, so there's a whole list of things, and I won't bore you with them all, but that is why it's so important to use somebody who really knows real estate, and that's what they do. And most sellers are aware of the benefit of letting prospective buyers know about possible features, about positive features of their home. And so you would do the same if you have good things, not only bad things, if you have new appliances or a new roof. You can point that out. And you might, you know, if you want to make it nice for the potential buyer, you could have, you know, receipts, and you can have a list of all the companies you use. You know, when I moved into my house, it was a new house, the builder left me everybody he used. He was gardener, his housekeeper, who did the painting. And frankly, he left me a list of everybody he used on the house, and that's exactly who I used. So
wow.
That's a
great,
because
when I bought my place, they didn't do that for me, and it was a nightmare, right?
Especially if you're in a new area, right? That you don't really, if you move from an area you didn't know before,
right?
Let me ask you, Lucas, in your practice, what's probably the most common questions that people ask when they're selling or buying a home?
See, what the questions they ask me, Dottie, are a little bit different. It's more like they want to know my background, my experience, and whether I handled the particular transactions before. I mean, what kind of question were you thinking?
Well, I'm sure they, of course, they ask your background.
Right.
Okay? But are there any general questions that come up? I mean, like, I can tell you questions that are... You know, a lot of times, a lot of people ask this, you know, there's questions that a lot of people ask all the time.
Not really. Every transaction is sort of different, because I don't pass on transactions. In other words, I don't say whether it's a good deal or a bad deal. That's not my function.
Well, I didn't say that.
But I'm just giving the background. When people come to me, it's about help me close this or help me sell it. Help me, you know, but it's not about for me to...
I didn't ask that question at all. I said, is there anything in particular that stands out in your mind? And I can tell you as a real estate person that people do ask, okay, what are other homes, is this a good price?
A lawyer can't comment.
I'm just saying what's for me. A lawyer,
Yes. Okay,
they'll want to make sure it's done legally and, you know, it's more of legal challenges. I just thought there might be something people that came up a lot.
I think what's important is that the attorney does the underlying due diligence about the legality of the structure or the apartment. You know, sometimes people say it's a two-bedroom, but it's really a one-bedroom. You know, you got to be very careful. Right. You got to underline due diligence.
And when you're looking for attorneys, let me give you some advice. And I don't say this is... First of all, use a real estate attorney. Two, ask them how quickly they can be ready for your contract.
Yes,
because
that's right.
The longer something takes to go into contract, the more the chances go down that the deal will fall apart.
That's great.
So you don't want an attorney that takes their time, and 2 weeks later, you're still waiting for a deal sheet.
Yes, that is a question I get. How long? And another question I get is, will you be doing the file, or are you going to give me to? Or are you going to give me to a paralegal? Now, many law firms that do transactional real estate will assign a paralegal. My office does not. You get a lawyer at my office.
Well, that's an important question to ask.
That isn't a question I do get asked. And let me say something. I have dealt with many, over the course of my career, many paralegals, and many of them are just as competent, if not more than attorneys. So just because you're assigned a paralegal is not necessarily a bad thing, but it should impact the price of the transaction, you know, your real estate costs. Because if you're going to be dealing with the paralegal primarily, you shouldn't be paying a higher fee. I mean, there's a correlation, Dottie.
Do you know I don't want to give prices, but I will
say
this.
No, I'm not giving prices.
If you deal with a paralegal, your attorney is supervising that paralegal.
Yes, must, by as a matter of law, yes. But the cost should be lower.
Well, I haven't seen that, but maybe. You know, and I'm not here to talk about prices. But I just want to say that when you deal with a real estate attorney, if they're using a paralegal, they're in charge of that paralegal, and they generally know. And a lot of people say, you know, there are states that don't require. Like Florida, I don't believe requires an attorney.
It does not. Yes, correct.
So when I have a client who's from New York and they're moving to Florida, and they're used to an attorney, and they don't need attorneys, they don't use them in Florida, I tell them, you know what? You should still use one.
I agree. I was just about to say that. That's a smart person that deals with an attorney. If you're not familiar with the laws, you don't know what applies to your transaction, whether you're buying or selling. You need somebody with experience. So it's a mistake. Although many states in the country, you don't use lawyers. And many states in the country, the title company does most of the work. So, but it's still advisable to interact or to...
I don't think it can hurt. And I think for your largest investment or one of the largest investments that you're going to purchase, that it's a smart thing. And as you said, Lucas, that just because they don't require it doesn't mean you shouldn't do that.
Great.
Okay? And many states don't. And a lot of times because, like I know in Florida, if I have it correctly, I think you can sign a contract and then I think you have 48 hours and you can change your mind.
Yes, yeah. There's an opt-out period. Yes, for contracts.
Which in New York, there's not an opt-out period. When
no,
you sign the contract, you sign the contract.
Do you think there should be an opt-out? In your opinion,
I think that they should require. No, I don't. Well, I think that you know, once you do it, you do it. I think that you should do all your due diligence, get all your attorneys, get all the questions, and once you close, I wouldn't want to be the seller and thinking somebody could always opt out.
Well, there
I would want to have that all. I would any questions, anything like that before the contract was signed, I'd want to be taken care of. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I ask you your opinion too.
Yeah.
I agree with you that by the time you signed a contract, you had enough time to dance and to ponder about whether or not you want to do the deal. And once you put pen to paper, that should seal it. So I agree.
But let me say one thing. You're in a competitive market. There's not a lot of inventory. If you take your time while you're trying to get your deal put together, the seller can take another deal that comes up and doesn't have to take your deal.
Until it's signed. That's
correct.
Until
it's signed. So,
be careful.
Let me just make you sure that you should definitely do your due diligence, but you want to make sure that your attorney, the engineer, anybody you're going to use is available right away. Because if you take too long, the seller can take another deal and then you're out.
Yeah, I think you're raising a really good point, Dottie. Many real estate attorneys, again, I don't want to disparage anyone, but many companies, that they do volume. So you're just one of thousands of files that they deal with. So you have to make sure when you're interacting with a lawyer that they're going to give you the kind of attention that you'll need. And one of the best tests of that is responsiveness to emails or phone calls. If you don't get a relatively fast response to an email or a response to a phone call, alarm bells should ring, Dottie.
Right.
Because if they're not responding quickly, I understand they're busy, but if they have too many cases, too many files, that shouldn't be your problem as the buyer or the seller.
Well, those are questions you would ask your attorney before
That's
you hire.
That's right, yes.
Okay, so in the few minutes that we have before we start talking about estate planning, and which is essentially very important, and they're changing all the rules within 2 years. So you really have to get on this now if you want it to be in your favor. So we'll do that after the break.
And Michael Miller is amazing. He is absolutely amazing. So we'll have fun. But before we go, Dottie, I had a question for you. Is now a good time before we go to
sure.
break?
Sure. Anytime. So
a listener sent me an email, and they were referencing your discussion last week about all these luxury contracts. You had mentioned deals closing for $12, $15, $20,
yes.
$25 million. And it was like, so the question I'm paraphrasing the question basically is, where's this money coming from? Is this foreign money, or is this, you know, American money? Where's the source of funds? Do you know?
We're not seeing a lot of foreign money.
Really?
We're not seeing the China. I mean, like, there was a time when everybody was, you know, everyone was saying, bring me somebody.
Japan was buying.
Or they're going to have an attaché case filled with cash. Okay, which is, I mean, that was people's vision. They're going to come with attaché cases filled with cash. Well, right. No, there was a period of time, I can't remember when Chinese buyers were here, but I think the Chinese government kind of got a little mad that they kept on buying stuff here and they weren't investing enough in China, so they made it much tougher. I would tell you the majority of buyers now are American buyers. You know, you're starting to see foreign buyers start to gradually come back to New York, but I would say a good majority of them are people that wanted to buy in New York and found an opportunity because prices were cheaper for a while and they were just priced out of New York, and now they can have an opportunity to get in there. You saw a lot of younger buyers coming
to New York. Where are they getting this money from, Dottie? Is it, what segment of the – where do they do? Are these people on the internet? Are these
No. Listen, they're not kids. 30 years old. People don't – buy at 21, 22 like years ago. They're older. Some of them lived at home longer. They get married later today. They buy houses later today. They have kids later today. So they've saved up money. And there's a lot of different ways. I mean, you can finance things. You can get, I mean, we're not going to have time to go into it today, but you know, you don't have to get a 30-year mortgage, and the only benefit of a 30-year mortgage is that you're going to stay in the house for 30 years, which most people don't.
Right.
Or they can go to the bank of mom and dad.
But
which
10
is
million,
always a good
15
place
million,
to go.
What 30-year-olds can come up with 10 million?
Well, you'd 15. Be surprised, because if you look at some of the major jobs and major things in technology and things of that nature, a lot of young people make a lot of money, and a lot of them don't. But,
well, did you see that story about the doctors out on Long Island that can't afford a home? There was a report. I know we only have a couple of minutes left, but there are doctors out in Long Island that are making $350,000 a year, and they can't afford housing out in Long Island.
Well, affordability, you know what? We should do that next week.
Yes, let's do that.
And give you some ways, you know, because that
is
a big problem today.
It's a big problem.
Affordability, Daddy. And whether somebody can even afford to buy a house today is a big problem. I think, Lucas, that's a great topic for us to discuss.
Next
and we'll
week.
Give you some, yeah, and we'll give you some options.
Because this has to stop. It has to stop. It's a crisis, and we have to address it.
Well, we have to address it. But, of course, if you're the seller, you're not upset about that. You're saying, bring them on. Let the prices keep on going up. And, by the way, they are. We're going to be back talking about estates. And we have a great, great, great topic about estates and wills and how to leave property. You're not going to want to miss this. This is really, really important. You didn't work hard to buy a house and end up letting the government get it all. So we're going to give you some legal ways to pass on assets. We'll be right back. You don't want to miss this. And then after that, we'll have Wendy Fetterman, who's the queen of Broadway, as far as I'm concerned. We'll be right back after a quick commercial break and the news.
The preceding hour of programming paid for.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.